Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, October 29th of what is turning out to be an absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. Just absolutely beautiful. That's all I can tell you about it. A couple of big stories we're going to talk about today, and that's Bolsonaro, president-elect Bolsonaro down in Brazil. What an amazing victory he had yesterday. I mean, just absolutely amazing. We're going to talk about that and what I believe will be some of his challenges as well as some of the opportunities and how he may deal with them. And then we're also going to talk about the troops going to the border and what that means and whether or not they will matter. Is the caravan going to stay in Mexico? Or are they going to go back? What exactly is going to happen? Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows when they're going to be up here either. That's another question. I mean, does anybody really know when they are going to be here? I mean, wherever they are right now and how they're moving, can anybody calculate when they will be up here? I don't know. All I know is that the Democrats are dead silent, as far as the caravan is concerned. I do want to begin with a couple of quick stories. These two stories came to my attention from our good friend Barry Castleman. Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, as you know, we do shows with him from time to time to talk about politics and especially elections. We've been doing shows with him really since 2012 about the state of our elections. And he has brought to my attention two things or two potential surprises on election day. You know, we've all talked about the Senate before, and I still believe the Republicans are going to pick up between 3 to 5 seats in the Senate, 3 for sure. This is net, by the way. When I talk about pickup, I'm talking about net pickups. This obviously assumes that the Republicans will hold on Tennessee, Texas. I don't think anybody has a problem there, and hold on to Arizona and Nevada. Those are two that were, you know, the Democrats thought they had a chance. I think they're starting to lose hope in Nevada. I think that Senator Haller is pulling away. Depending on what poll you look at, it's either too close to call in Arizona or, you know, Congresswoman McSally is running away. It just all depends who you look at. So we'll just assume that it's too close to call if there's a variety of polls. But it assumes holding on to those four that I just mentioned, Tennessee, Texas, Arizona, and Nevada. If the Republicans hold on to those four, then any pickup is a net pickup. And at the moment, it sure looks real good in North Dakota, in Missouri, and Indiana. Those three are apparently looking very good. There's still a chance about Montana, West Virginia. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think Manchin is going to hold on to that. But anyway, all of a sudden, Michigan and New Jersey have become players, potential players. In New Jersey, now, New Jersey is the one that I'm a little bit more skeptical about because we've had in the past, there have been other times when people thought that a Republican could win New Jersey. I remember back in 2004 when even I predicted that Bush was going to win New Jersey. That's how close it was. But he ended up losing New Jersey by a very small number to John Kerry back then. It didn't matter as far as the total electoral vote, but it was, I was thinking that he would win New Jersey. But right now, it looks like the opposition to Senator Menendez is getting very deep. And Senator Menendez, of course, has had a lot of problems with corruption. And this is really his biggest drawback. Corruption, and I think the Republican opponent is making a pretty good case against it. And all of a sudden, New Jersey, I mean, that could be a huge surprise early on. And by the way, we'll know that one very quickly because that's on the East Coast, and we'll know that one. We'll have results on that one probably by 8 o'clock Eastern time. So if you see New Jersey too close to call on election night, that could be a sign of a problem for the Democrats. The other one also on the Eastern time zone is Michigan. And now all of a sudden, one of the best GOP newcomers, a fellow by the name of John James, is running for the Senate there against Senator, I cannot think of her last name, Segano, I think that's her last name. I apologize. I cannot remember her last name right now. She has not been a very distinguished senator, to say the least. I mean, you don't usually think of her as someone that has been around any legislation or anything like that. But John James, who is a West Point graduate, Iraq War veteran, I mean, the guy is perfect. Perfect casting, I would think, for a senatorial candidate and potentially even a president someday. John James is within single digits of that race. And he's creating a lot of excitement. And being African-American, he's creating a lot of excitement even among African-American leaders. Now, my gut feeling is that the Republicans will not win both of these, simply because the numbers are against them. But the fact that they can make them that close, and especially Michigan, is something that I think would be great. Now, if I had to bet, they won't win both of them, but they may pick up one. And if I have to bet, I think they'll pick up Michigan. I just think John James is putting on a campaign that is just absolutely stunning. This is a politician in every sense. This is an accomplished human being who is out there. He's playing for keeps, as they'd say, and he is running the heck of a campaign. And I would love to see him win. I would just love to see him win in Michigan. Whether he will or not, time will tell. Time will tell. But he's putting on a tremendous fight in Michigan, just an absolutely tremendous fight in a seat that I don't think anybody thought the Republicans had a chance 3 months ago. And now all of a sudden he's within single digits. I mean, you never know. We're going to take a little break. We'll hear from one of our sponsors and we'll be right back. A quick word about our friend Carlos Geddes. We have a link to his website on the show information if you want to find out where he's playing around town. And my good friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer, we also have a link to his website. If you're looking for a car, give Duke a call. Carlos Geddes and Duke Machado, a couple of our friends here on the program. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Brazil, where Jair Bolsonaro is going to be the next president of Brazil. This is really an amazing political story. I mean, when you put aside ideology and you just look at the politics of this, it's remarkable. I mean, I don't know of anybody who thought he would be elected president 3 months ago, 2 months ago. This is a man better known for some of the things that he says. He's got a little bit of Trump in him in the sense that he talks back and he doesn't he's not a politician. He doesn't speak one like one. He kind of tells you where he stands, something that is probably refreshing, I suppose, to some Brazilians accustomed maybe to the political way of talking, if you want to put it that way. But he's now the president-elect of Brazil, and he was elected yesterday 55-45, 57 million votes. I mean, 55-45, that's a pretty big margin. That's 10 points. It's actually a little bit more than 10 points, but I'm rounding it up to 55. It could be 56, really, I suppose, if you round it up. But anyway, great victory. And now, of course, he faces the task of governing a country where there is a great resentment of the political class. I think a lot of people are just very angry in Brazil about what's going on down there. So I'm going to make a couple of suggestions to President-elect Bolsonaro, who will take over as of the 1st of January. My first recommendation is that he should focus completely on fixing the crime problem in the country. As you know, we've spoken about this before. We've written a post about this before. The problem in Brazil is that the crime wave in the cities is out of control. And a lot of it is drug-related, okay? A lot of it is just one gang versus another gang. They're fighting for territory and all of that kind of thing. But the net result is that you have this out-of-control crime, which is making life miserable for people in Brazil, and particularly the poor people who don't have the opportunity to build gates around their home or get bodyguards or have their kids go to school with bodyguards. They don't have that option. So the poor people who have to live in these areas, they're the ones who are being impacted. And I think that if Bolsonaro really takes on the crime and really deals the criminal elements a strong blow, I think that could make him very, very popular with not just everybody, but I think the poor people in Brazil who in the past have voted for the more socialist party. So that would be my number one recommendation. Really focus on that crime and come down very hard on those criminal gangs and elements, again, making life miserable for the poor people of Brazil. The other thing that I would like him to see, and this is more of a stretch, I'm willing to admit this, this is more of a stretch, but nevertheless, I like to see Bolsonaro become like the anti-Maduro in the sense that he will really stake out some very strong positions against what Maduro is doing in Venezuela. And he has reasons to it because on the border between Brazil and Venezuela, there are many, many Venezuelans trying to escape and crossing into Brazil. And I know this has created a problem for Brazil. So this would be a great opportunity for Bolsonaro to stand up to Maduro and maybe rally some of the countries of Latin America to do something about Maduro. I think that would be a great opportunity. So those two things, focus on the crime and maybe try to do something about Maduro. I think those two I would recommend that he would concentrate on. But we congratulate again President-elect Bolsonaro for his amazing victory. Well, let's talk a little bit about troops, and this time troops on the U.S.-Mexico border. I just read a report. Again, this is all from news reports, so I don't have any way to confirm it, but on news reports that indicate that there are 5,000 troops headed for the border. Now, that's more than the 800 they had talked about before. And 5,000 troops is a lot of troops. Now, exactly what they're going to do, that's the part that I don't quite know what the logistics are going to be and where they're going to be and what potential role they're going to have. I think, just a gut feeling on my part, I think what they're probably going to do is put up some kind of a barrier, some kind of a physical barrier, and simply say, no, you're not coming in. And at that moment, if they try to come in, then the Border Patrol could arrest them or even the authorities could hold them back. But I think if you put a barrier, that might make it very difficult for them to come over. So that's maybe the one thing they're going to do. I don't think the troops themselves are going to be engaging in contact with the caravan members unless it gets out of control and they need to put down some kind of a chaotic situation. But hopefully it doesn't reach that. Hopefully it stops before they get up here. Once they get the message, they're not coming in. Now, the Mexican government made what I thought was a very generous offer to the caravan people, but they turned it down, and I don't understand why. The Mexican government said, hey, we'll give you residency, basically. We'll legalize you, and you can stay in the two southern provinces of Mexico, which are closer to their own countries. But they said, no, they don't want that. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, I think Mexicans must be, I don't know if they thought these people were going to accept the offer or not. I don't know. But once they reject that offer, they now become illegal immigrants in Mexico, and Mexico is not tolerant of illegal immigration. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mexico moves in and says, hey, you know, we offered you an opportunity to stay. You turned it down. We're not going to put up with this. You're going home. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, honestly. I think Mexico has been rather patient here, but they've always had a history of being tough on illegal immigration, and they may very well have no choice but to do it again. But no matter what, they're not coming in. That's what President Trump is saying, and President Trump is totally committed to this. And by the way, I think this is the winning issue for him as far as the politics of this, and the best evidence of that is that you don't see any Democrats talking about the caravan. You don't see any Democrats saying anything about the caravan. In fact, most of the Democrats have gone on mute when it comes to the caravan. They're not saying a word about the caravan. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the politics of the caravan. Well, we remember on this day in 1966, 96 Tears was the number one song in the country. Well, maybe you remember that. Have a good day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.